Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and of course this afternoon they're going to be the views of Patrick Heron, who's over in studied Bible for over 30 years. He received his Bachelor of Science and Master's in Business Studies from the Trinity College in Dublin, and has a degree in theology, and of course he's written a fascinating book called Apocalypse Soon, The Beginning of the End. And it's, of course, the book is published by our good friend Tom Horn. Patrick, thank you so very much for being with us.
Lovely to be with you again, Dr. Monteith. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, thank you. Well, of course, what you're doing, of course, is talking about the fact that it is your contention that we are moving into an end times scenario. Would that be fairly accurate?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about that now, Dr. Monteith. And I know that you've been having a lot of weird weather over there. I was speaking to a friend of mine in Los Angeles last week, and he told me you had 2 inches of rain in California last year and about 8 years of drought. And the weather in Ireland here for the last almost 3 months has been absolutely most peculiar. We've had nothing but rain, and more rain. Now, I know that everybody thinks it rains all the time in Ireland in the summer, but it doesn't. Usually in the summertime over here, Dr. Monteith, we get lovely sunny days with blue skies and big white fluffy clouds, and we might get a shower, which might last 10 or 15 or 20 minutes. But one author many years ago described the summer rain in Ireland. He said it's like a poem, and it just envelops you. It's not really that bad. It's sort of welcoming. But this year, in April, we had absolutely an incredible month of April. It was like July, which normally we get April showers. But since May, June, July, almost nonstop. I don't think we've had one day without rain somewhere in Ireland. And it's been a constant rain, raining all day. And in between the rain, we're getting monsoons. The weather is just very, very, very weird. And we used to get all our weather systems from the west, but now it seems to be coming from the south. And it's very peculiar. At the same time that we're getting all this rain over here, you will probably have seen on your TVs the floods in England when some people were drowned. And then if you go further east in Romania and Bulgaria and Greece and places like that, they've just had incredible heat and people dying from the heat. And I know these weather systems are all over the world. In Pakistan, they had incredible floods. They had floods in China. And then in other places, there's drought and heat waves. So, as you know, one of the signs of the end times, the Lord said in Luke 21, he said, nations in perplexity and anxiety at the roaring and tossing of the sea. So that seems to be what's going on. That's one of the signs of the end times, peculiar weather.
All right, well, I think there are lots of signs out there that not only, of course, the natural signs, but even the things that are happening as far as contemporary history that suggest we're moving very, very close to that time that's prophesied by our Lord. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Patrick Heron, and we're going to be talking about his book, Apocalypse Soon, which, of course, was put out by our good friend Tom Horn. He's publishing a number of fascinating books, and we're having a number of his authors on. Patrick Heron lives over there in Ireland, as you may suspect from listening to him, his accent. And he was just simply pointing out the abnormal weather they're having in Ireland. Ordinarily, of course, they have an occasional shower in the summer, but now they're having simply showers every day. And they're not having showers, they're having monsoons. And, of course, really how the weather all over England, all over the British Isles, all over the continent really all over the world. The weather is changing and changing very dramatically. Some places there's drought, some places there's just intolerable heat, other places there's flooding, things that we just haven't seen before. Certainly flooding in London this time of year is almost unheard of, isn't it, Patrick?
Absolutely. Most unusual weather over there. People just can't believe it over here. This summer, the crops are ruined. They can't get into the fields to dig out the potatoes, wheat. Very, very bad. So as a result of that, prices are going to go way up this winter for produce. The same in England. There's a whole huge swathe of England, Dr. Monteith, that is very, very low-lying. And if, again, I watched the television tonight about global warming, and if the sea rises very, very, not that much at all, and a lot of England will be underwater because a lot of it is very low-lying. And, of course, you could imagine what would happen in places like Holland, where Holland is actually below sea level and where they have these big dikes keeping out the water. And in, you mentioned London there. The River Thames runs right through London, and they have these big flood barriers on the River Thames near the mouth of the river where these huge mechanical dam goes down if there's flood waters and if there's very high seas to stop the water coming up the Thames. And ordinarily, they would expect to use that twice in a year. And so far this year, they've used it 20 times already in London.
So you're suggesting that there's something very much is amiss, something very abnormal is happening. And then, First Sir Patrick ties this into some of the things that are prophesied for the latter days in the scriptures. So you pick up the story from there.
Well, I mean, one of the scriptures that have come to mind recently, when I was looking at the weather, because it's actually a great opportunity for Christians like us to reach out to people with the word and with answers to their questions.
All right, I want you to hold that thought there for just a moment. We'll be right back with our other stations. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Patrick Heron, and Patrick is simply pointing out that as many, many people are seeing the abnormal things that are taking place with the weather, it gives those of us who are Christians the opportunity to reach out to others who are non-Christians, who are concerned about what's happening. They may be concerned about what's happening with the weather. They may be concerned about what's happening politically. They may be concerned what's happening socially. They may be concerned about the earthquakes and the other real abnormalities that are occurring with tremendous increased frequency. And at least begin to broach the subject of, could it be possible that these are the times that are foretold thousands of years ago? So, Patrick, you pick up the story.
Yes, Doctor. One of the scriptures that has been springing to my mind in the last couple of weeks was where Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and he said to them, you can look up at the sky, and you can tell by the sky, you can discern what the weather is going to be on the morrow, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. And I was just speaking last week with my nephew and his fiance here in my house, and they're not Christians. And I was talking to them about the signs of the end of the world and about my work, my new book, Apocalypse Soon. And I said, look, if you don't believe what I'm saying, just look out the window. All you've got to do is look out the window at the weather. The weather is so, so weird, and I know that's happening all over the world. But Jesus said in Luke 21, one of the signs, he said, nations in perplexity and anxiety at the roaring and tossing of the sea. And I think a number of years ago there was a weather system down off South America, and they called it El Nino, which means the Christ child, incidentally. And they reckoned a lot of the storms that were caused in New Orleans and off the southeastern United States were caused by El Nino and by the warming of the weather down there, causing all these incredible weather systems and hurricanes and tornadoes. And of course, when they go up there, they're affecting us over here too. And again, I was watching the program tonight about global warming, and it seems that Greenland seems to be disappearing, that the ice is melting up there, it's melting in the North Pole, it's melting in the South Pole, and they reckon when this gets to a critical point, it could change all the currents of the world, these worldwide currents, some of which go down at the bottom of the sea and other ones which come back at the top of the sea, and it could reverse them. And when it reaches what they call a critical mass, that the weather could change very, very fast. But all these things I see, Dr. Monteith, as opportunities for us to reach out and to speak the word of God and give hope to people who do not yet have hope. Because in the heel of the hunt, what we're here to do is to bear fruit and to win souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just to sit around, you know, reading books such as mine and tickling our ears and discussing with one another all these amazing spiritual in-depths, but we need to be reaching out and touching other people. And it's an open door out there with non-Christians and secular people. Even in my country here, which is very, very unlike the United States. In the United States, you have many, many millions of Christian people. Indeed, I was in Atlanta just a few weeks ago at the CBA conference, and every second person I bumped into outside the conference was a Christian. Over here in Ireland and in Europe, it's a very secular, very, very secular place. You don't meet that many Christians. But even just going out meeting people, we're pushing an open door, because people can sense that something is not right. They're very uncertain about the future. They're looking at all these weird things happening with the weather. They're looking up things like bird flu and the things happening in Iran and Iraq. And they know, they can smell see the straws in the wind. So it's an opportunity for us to reach out and give them hope. Because in the heel of the hunt, the only answer to anybody's questions is to believe in Jesus Christ and to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So what I want to do and what I try to do with my books, all my work leads to Romans 10:9-10 and John 3:16. And whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. A very, very simple message. And that's what we want to do, and reach out and get the body of Christ full before he comes back. And so that's what I'm trying to do. And as you mentioned, and I'll just get a plug in for my book, and then I won't mention it anymore.
Oh, you can put all the plugs in you want, so that's perfectly all right.
Oh, well, I don't want to. It seems a bit crude sometimes doing it. But Tom Horn, as you mentioned, has published my newest book in the United States called Apocalypse Soon. And it's a fantastic book for evangelizing. It's short and sweet, as my father used to say, short and sweet like a NASA's gallop. And it's a great little book. Over here, it was the bestseller in Ireland when it came out first. And I met one guy who told me he read it 3 times in a row. I met another man who said he read it 5 times in a row. In fact, I met a young Dublin couple in Italy about 2 years ago. And when he found out who I was, he said, "Are you Robert Heron?" I said, "No, I'm Patrick Heron," or my friends call me Paddy Heron. He said, "Did you write another book called..." I said, "Yeah, it was called Apocalypse Soon." He said, "I read Apocalypse Soon 3 times in a row and it saved my life." That's what he said. So this is a great little book for giving to people who are not Christians, or for other Christians who do not yet know about the prophecies of Jesus Christ. Because as you know, Dr. Monteith, that there's many, many, many born-again Christians who shy away from prophecies and they don't read the book of Revelation. And they need to know that the revelation, the apocalypse or the book of Revelation, is the revelation direct from Jesus Christ to his people. He said to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And it's the only book in the Bible, well, actually it mightn't be, but twice in the book of Revelation it says we're blessed if we read it and blessed if we hear it. We receive a blessing if we read it or if we hear it. And it's the direct revelation of Jesus Christ to his servants. So we need to know this stuff. And as I say, it's a great opportunity for reaching out and for speaking the word and for bringing people to Jesus Christ. And that's what my book, Apocalypse Soon, is all about.
Didn't you actually sort of rewrite it, or at least change it a little bit here when it's republished?
Yes, it was my first book. I wrote this in Ireland here 10 years ago. And I did one radio interview on the national radio interviews. It was the first radio interview I ever did, Dr. Monteith, and I've did several hundred since. And this was a secular radio station. And at the guy who interviewed me, he gave me a fantastic interview. And at the end of it, he said he read the book in one sitting and he was gripped. And the book went into the bestsellers in Ireland after that. And people got saved reading the book, because that's the whole point about it. When the Word of God does not come back void. So if you cast your bread on the waters, it doesn't come back void. And people are going to hear it and they're going to get blessed by the word contained in there. So if people would like a copy of that book, they can get it at www.survivormall.com. I'll just spell that for you. SURVIVOR, survivormall.com. And they can purchase that book there. Or they can go to my website if they want to check out my website, which is www.neph.ie. That's neph.ie. And they can get links to it there. But it's all about reaching out with the word. That's That's what it's all about, Dr. Monteith. I don't know if you... I just watched a video, a DVD, before I came on the phone to you, by a fellow called Reinhard Bonnke.
Yes, so he's a very, very famous African missionary.
That's absolutely right. And he has this DVD out about a man, a pastor in Nigeria, who died in a car crash. I don't know if you've seen it.
No,
it's
I haven't.
Called Raised from the Dead. And he was dead for 3 days. And when he was pronounced dead, they brought him to the morgue. They embalmed him. The wife wanted to take him back to her village. They put it in the morgue there. And then she said, when she started crying, and she refused to accept that he was dead. And one of the scriptures she mentioned was Hebrews, where I think it's Hebrews 11 she mentioned, where it says, women received their dead back to life. And she challenged God with this promise, and she said, I want my husband back. And she prayed, and they brought her to a big meeting that was going on in the town by Reinhard Bonnke, this German man who's been evangelizing over in Africa for, I think, 30 years. And they put him in the basement downstairs, and they started praying, and she was there. To make a long story short, anyway, the breath came back into his life, and they brought him upstairs, and he got his life back after being dead for 3 days. It was incredible, and they had amazing excitement at the meeting there. And when you see the picture of one of this man's meetings, there's just a sea of people. There might be a million or more than a million people at his meeting, rather, and he's an evangelist, and he leads them all to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then also on this DVD was the testimony of the man, the pastor, and he talked about how when he died in the ambulance, two angels brought him to heaven. It says they showed him the mansions. The angel told him that the mansions are finished, and that they were fulfilling the rich man's request from Luke, where the rich man said, let somebody come back from the dead and warn the people. And it's absolutely fantastic. It's very, very moving. But Reinhard Bonnke gives a little testimony, and it showed him preaching in the actual DVD. And he was preaching about the rich man and Lazarus, and the poor man, Lazarus, who's, you know, the dogs, he was eating the crumbs from the table, and the dogs were licking his sores. And he said, basically, the rich man said no to Jesus Christ and no to God, and he didn't want any people doing that anymore. But it was a very, very moving little DVD, and blessed me a lot, and really got us back to basics about what we should be doing here and what our life is all about, because we're called to bear fruit. And we're called to reach out. And the way we do that, as far as I can see, is get up every morning and say, thank you, God, for doors of utterance to speak your word. And I know when I do that, I always end up sitting down talking to somebody with an opportunity to speak the word, and then I can give them one of my books. And all my books lead to, as I say, to an opportunity for people to get saved and to get born again. So that's really what it's all about.
Well, of course, when I was actually over in Africa, I lived there 3 years in South Africa, but we certainly had, we'd never met right out, but very certainly my son went to many of his great meetings, and he would have literally hundreds of thousands of people, tens of thousands of people, sometimes hundreds of thousands of people, as the evangelical meetings. And there was at that time and is today a great spiritual revival in Africa, and there are supernatural things that do happen. I mean, we don't understand them, but then, of course, we believe in Christianity. We have to recognize the fact that supernatural things can happen, and nothing is impossible, of course, with our Lord. Well, our guest, of course, is Patrick Heron. We're talking about his book, Apocalypse Soon, and of course, he talks a great deal here about the signs of the times that we're told about, the things that will happen in the latter days, and of course, a lot of people are going to say, but there have always been lots of unusual things happening, and there are a lot of people out there who just do not want to believe in the promises of the gospel. What do we do with them, Patrick?
Well, I always hear this argument, you know, that because when they came to Jesus, some of his closest and most private friends in a meeting, and they asked him in Matthew chapter 24, what would be the signs of the end of this age and of his coming? And the first thing he said is Many shall, don't be deceived, many will shall come forth in my name, saying, I am Christ. Do not be deceived. So just because we see people, you know, telling us that they're Christians and getting photographs of them with a Bible under their arm, it doesn't necessarily mean that they are Christians. And we've all been fooled by these guys before. He said, many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And he says, there will be wars and rumors of wars. Nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And that Greek for kingdom there is ethnos, both ethnos. And that's one ethnic group against another ethnic group. You know, if in Ireland here we had Catholics and Protestants. Then in Africa there was Hutus and Tutsi. Then we have Jews and Arabs, you know, Christian against Muslim. And he said nation against nation. Then he said there'll be an increase in famines, in peculiar weather, in earthquakes, in people's hearts failing them for looking after those things happening in the world. He said an increase in lawlessness, an increase in corruption in high places, and people becoming lovers of money. And as you said, rightly said, Dr. Monteith, that many, many people said, well, we've always had wars and famines and earthquakes and diseases. But there's one sign that is given that is peculiar to our time, and that is referring to the nation of Israel. Many, many, many dozens of prophecies that said that the Jews would be kicked out of Palestine and Israel, that they would be scattered to the four corners of the world, and that everywhere they go, they would be persecuted and despised and hated of all nations. And in 70 AD, a Roman general called Titus went in to put down an insurrection in Jerusalem. He slaughtered about 1 million Jews. The rest were scattered to the four corners of the world, hence the wandering Jew. Everywhere that people have gone, they've been despised and hated and persecuted of all nations. And that persecution and hatred culminated in the Holocaust in Germany in the Second World War, when millions of them were murdered in the gas chambers there. But there are many, many other prophecies that said in the last days, in the last generation, that God would regather his people again, that he would bring them back and establish them in Palestine again, and he would do this as a sign to the rest of the nation that we are in the last days, in the last generation. In fact, one of the prophecies said that they would be made a nation in one day. And that happened in I think it was the 11th of May in 1948. There was a UN resolution by the Britain and was backed up by the United States. And Israel literally became a nation in one day. And they started to go back there. Now there's 6 million people, Jews there. World peace is contingent upon what happens in that neck of the woods between the Jews and the Arabs. So we are the generation that have witnessed that coming to pass. That was 1948. So that's like 59 years ago. We are that generation who's seen it coming to pass. So when people go home and they switch on their TV sets and they see trouble over there...
Hold that thought right there, Patrick. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly we talked about, well, there's always been abnormal weather, there's always been abnormal things happening in the world, but never, you know, in 2,000 years has there been fulfillment of the biblical prophecies that the Jews would be turned Israel. And there's all sorts of explanations why they did, but, I mean, the fact that they would actually be reconstituted as a nation and returned to Israel after 2,000 years, or almost 2,000 years, they were driven out in the year 70 A.D., is truly a miraculous thing. And, of course, they were reconstituted as a nation in one day, just exactly as was prophesied. And, of course, another point that Patrick makes is that there were some... 25 or prophecies concerning Jesus Christ that were really fulfilled, you know, the last 24 hours of his life. 24 prophecies that have been made over a period of hundreds and hundreds of years, and yet they all came to pass. And I thought that passage there was on page 15 was really so well done. And of course, prophecies do come to pass, and I think that we are living in truly prophetic days now. The skeptic does want to believe it, and he's not going to believe, but I think as things become worse and worse, more and more people are going to be wanting the answers, and hopefully you and your book and programs such as ours will begin to point people towards the truth of what's going on.
Absolutely. And as I was just saying, when people go home and they watch the television and they see trouble out in Israel between Hamas and the Jews or the Arabs and Palestinians and Lebanon and Iraq, we are watching that prophecy coming to pass. We are that generation. And as you mentioned, 25 specific prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ came to pass in one 24-hour period coming up to his crucifixion. And many of those things were shown in that Mel Gibson movie, The Passion of the Christ. For instance, it was prophesied that he'd be betrayed by his friend, that his friend would commit suicide, that they would give him 30 pieces of silver, that he would use the 30 pieces of silver to buy the potter's field, that he would be crucified with thieves and robbers, that they would pierce his hands and his feet, that they would gamble over his seamless robe, that they would stick a spear in his side and blood and water would come out. 25 specific prophecies came to pass in this one man's life in one 24-hour period. I think in total, Jesus fulfilled at least 109 specific prophecies that were written about him in 4,000 years of the Old Testament previous history. And yet, despite all the fact that there's many prophecies about the first coming of the Lord, I think there's something like four or five times as many prophecies about his second coming. And that is what Peter called, he said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. And that's a great scientific argument, actually, for the resurrection and for the authenticity and veracity of the truth of the word of God, is how these prophecies fulfill themselves. In fact, I took one little passage in my other book, the Nephilim, the one that I spoke to you before about the fallen angels of Genesis 6, where Grant Jeffrey took just 11 of the prophecies about the Messiah, and he apportioned probability to each of these prophecies. For instance, it says in Micah 5:2, I believe it is that Jesus would be born, the Messiah would be born in a village called Bethlehem. Well, there was thousands of little villages all over Bethlehem, or all over Israel at that time. And, you know, it's very unusual that a Messiah or a king would be born in a little nondescript village in the middle of nowhere. So he said, even though there's thousands of these villages, we'll make that 200 to 1 that he's born in Bethlehem. Then he took another one where it said in Zechariah that the king would ride into Jerusalem on an ass's colt. And, well, again, kings don't usually go around riding on asses. So he said, we'll make that 50 to 1. So the combined probabilities of these two prophecies coming to pass in one man's life would be 200 multiplied by 50, which is 10,000 to 1. And he took another 9 of these prophecies and he assigned conservative probabilities to each one of them. And when he figured out the probability of all these 11 prophecies coming to pass in this one man's life, it came to something like 15 billion trillion, or 15 with 15 zeros behind it. In other words, almost impossible. In fact, he said that a good way of explaining it was that if I took a ring from your finger, Dr. Monteith, and I went up in an airplane, and somewhere over one of the seven oceans of the world, I threw it out the window, then I came back to you and I said, well, here's a boat, off you go, and a fishing rod. You can sail around the seven oceans of the world. When you're feeling lucky, you've one chance to let down your hook and locate your ring. That's the same probability of Jesus fulfilling just 11 of these prophecies with the conservative probabilities assigned to him.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Arthur Stan back here. Our guest this afternoon is Patrick Heron. We're talking about his book, Apocalypse Soon, which is a very simple little book, but it's a very good book because today most people don't want to read. And so you've got to make a book that's short, brief, to the point, and, of course, that will hold their attention, and so they'll be able to read it in a few hours. We're all so busy. We're just busy being busy, and but, of course, the fact that Patrick has written the book, it has an impact, and I'm sure it's touched the lives of many people. It's been redone, and now it's come out in a new form, but it's basically the same story. and published by our good friend here in the United States, Tom Horn. So is this book moving fairly well at the present time, Patrick?
Well, it seems to be moving okay. I checked it on the sales ranking at Amazon yesterday, and it was gone up quite high. It was doing quite well. And, well, it's doing okay. The seed is sown, and thank you for having me on, because it's like shows like that give me an opportunity to get the word out there, and people can hear about it, and they can go out and purchase the book and hopefully read it and then give it away, because that's what we need to do. We need to give it away, especially to Christians who don't know much about the prophecies of the end times, which I really think the church needs to get a hold of these days and to use that as a powerful evangelistic tool. And there's nothing like prophecies of the end times to get people hot again and get them excited for Christianity and for the gospel and for the work we have to do, because sometimes people get cold and they go off and they get disinterested. But when you learn what the prophecies say, and you realize that very, very shortly, you're going to be looking at the face of Jesus Christ and giving an account for yourself, it gets you excited. I mean, if you knew Jesus Christ was coming over to your house tomorrow at 3 o'clock, then I think what you'd do is you'd go home and you'd tidy the house up, you'd clean it up, you'd get the place ready, you'd cut the grass, you'd get some nice food in. I don't think you'd be lying around in bed till 12 o'clock tomorrow morning and saying, he's coming in a couple of hours, so what? And it's the same with the prophecies of the Word. They get you excited. They get you on the ball again. They get you motivated and get you out there working for the Lord and doing things and winning souls so as we can get the body of Christ filled up. And once that last saint is in the body of Christ, then Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. And that's what this stuff does. So, you know, that's what my book is all about. And hopefully, and if only one person read it and got saved, Dr. Monteith, then I'd be a very happy man, because I'll get a reward in heaven for that.
Amen for that. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Patrick Heron here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. My guest is Patrick Heron. His book, again, is Apocalypse Soon. Patrick, would you like to get out your telephone number here in the States, or certainly do you have a website here in the States?
Yes, the website you can get the book at is www.survivalmall.com. That's S-U-R-V-I-V-O-R, Survivormall, M-A-L-L.com. Or if you want to visit my website, it's www.neph.ie. That's N-E-P-H.ie. And also, you can probably order Apocalypse Soon in a local Christian bookshop. If they don't have it, they will get it for you, because Faith Works are distributing the book. It's available out there, and it's a great little book, and you'll enjoy it. You'll read it in one evening or two evenings, and it's very, very easy for young people, too. That's another great thing that it's available for, is for teenagers. If you have teenage kids and they're not too pushed about what you're trying to do or about Christianity, this will really, really help them. My 12-year-old daughter read it when it came out, and she had no problem with it when it came out first. So anybody from 12 up to 17, ideal for them, because they're not going to get stuck into some very heavy technical tome. So this book will be ideal for them. Short and sweet, as I said, The Apocalypse for Dummies, or Bible Prophecy for Dummies, although that's not a very nice way of putting it. But it's a good little book for getting you excited and for evangelizing. And give it away. Give it to people and cast it out there. And hopefully, if you do that, between us, we'll win a soul for the Lord.
Well, of course, I think that the big thing is that as you look at the world today and you see what's happening to American society, and I'm sure to British society and Irish society, there's a progressive breakdown of moral standards. And, you know, we find half of our marriages are breaking up. We find increase of crime and violence, and we see the wars spreading, wars all over the world, and certainly the wars we're involved in over in the Middle East are not going that well right at the present time, and there's a possibility of that war being expanded on into Iran, and the possible consequences of that are indeed frightening. And then, of course, we see the increased government surveillance of the American people, and I know that certainly over the British Isles there's a move now to have a video camera on every corner. And, of course, they're told what it has to do with terrorism, but they were doing this long before terrorism. everything is changing and not for the better. And, you know, if you look at these things, it's sort of a hopeless situation, but if you realize that there is a reason behind it and that God is real and God does work in the affairs of men, then certainly Christians are not disturbed by the things that they see unfolding. Would that be a fair assumption, Patrick?
Oh, absolutely. You're right on the ball, Dr. Monteith, with your summary. And, you know, we have to be concerned about these things, and we have to do whatever we need to do in political certain circles and voice our opinions. But by the same token, we've got to understand that what will be. And, you know, God has his hand in the heel of the hunt. He knows what's going on, and everything is going to work out in the end. But, yeah, you're right. And what's happening in the United States, it seems to me, because I've visited the United States now 8 times in the last 2 years, just over 2 years, and I was there first in 1973 as a student and 1974 as a student, and then from 80 to 82 I went to a Bible college over there, and it's changed so much in these years. Now when you go into America, it's like you're getting searched everywhere. You go every airport you go into, you see, you know, women that are obviously grannies from maybe the hills of Kentucky, and they happen to take their clothes off and they're going through their bags, and it just seems way, way over the top. And I know from reading emails and from people sending me stuff that it seems like the Constitution is being unraveled and dismantled before our very eyes. All this freedom has been taken away. And it's all been done in the name of terror. And when you watch the news over there, I'm just amazed. They just seem to be going on about this war on terror all the time. And I heard somebody mention it, one of the politicians, and a very interesting thing, Dr. Stan, where he said, you know, for 30 years we had the Cold War with Russia. And Russians had about 30,000 nuclear warheads pointed at the United States that could reach there in a matter of minutes. They had a huge navy, huge submarine, nuclear submarines, huge air force, huge army. And, you know, people slept in their beds at night, no problem. But now the government seems to be telling you that the Muslims are the big threat. Now, the Muslims have no navy, they've no nuclear subs, they've no air force, they've no army. They spend most of the time fighting among themselves. They don't seem like they could organize a kick in a stampede, the way we'd say thing over here. And yet, it seems like that the government of the States think that they're going to run across Europe, even though the Europeans are armed to the teeth from Sweden down to Italy, with Germany and all in between, with incredible technical weapons, with armory, with nukes, with everything. And they're going to run over Europe, then sail across the Atlantic Ocean, and invade America and take over America. And people can't sleep in their beds at night. It's ridiculous.
Well, of course, but the old idea that we're governed, our minds are molded, our tastes are suggested, our ideas are formed largely by men we have never heard of. We're being manipulated by fear. And as long as we're being manipulated by fear and we believe what we're being told by the mass media, we can't see things effectively. We can't see what's really going on today, and we can't connect the dots, because anybody who tries to connect the dots is immediately demonized and attacked and vilified, and if they can, they'll get them off the air or stop them from writing books or get into all sorts of problems. So people who tell the truth get into all sorts of problems, and people who lie consistently, of course, are glorified by the controlled media. So, but these are certainly exciting times for a Christian, because the Christian has read the script. He knows what's taking place. He's read the program, as it were, and he can begin to see all the players fitting into place. So you pick up the
script. Absolutely. And people who know the scriptures know that in the future, in the apocalypse time, it talks about a one-world government. And it talks about a new world order. And in fact, in Daniel chapter 2, when it talks, Nebuchadnezzar had that dream, and Daniel interpreted the dream for him of the four great empires. The fourth one is the one that still has to come in the future, where he talked about the 10 toes. And the toes were made up of iron and miry clay. And it says in Daniel chapter 2, verse 40 to 43 or 44, and it says, they shall mingle their seed with the seed of men. And that's talking about the fallen angels, I believe, the Nephilim, which we discussed the last time I was on with you, Dr. Monteith, and my other book, The Nephilim and the Pyramid of the Apocalypse, is about the fallen angels. And these guys are coming back. In fact, I did a DVD at a conference I was invited to last March, and it's called The Return of the Nephilim. And that's available on my website, too. And what he was talking about was the ten toes made up of iron and clay. That's the future one-world government that's going to be on this earth during the apocalypse. It's 10, I believe, geopolitical regions made up of miry clay and steel. And the miry clay is referring to human beings. We're miry clay. We're dust. Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And the iron is referring to the Nephilim, to these fallen angels who are coming back to earth. Because Jesus also said, as one of the signs of the end times, he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. And it was in the days of Noah, prior to the flood, that the fallen angels came to earth, according to Genesis 6, married ordinary women, and they had children by them. And these were the giants of the Old Testament. And these were knocking around for, I believe, up to 1,000 years. And so shall it be in the future apocalypse. Because we're told that the original fallen angels that fell to earth are locked up in this subterranean prison called the Bottomless Pit. And once in Peter, it's called Tartarus, or Tartarus. And this, of course, ties in with the Tartarus of Greek and Roman mythology, where we're told that the gods are imprisoned because they rebelled against Zeus. But in Revelation chapter 9, we're told that this bottomless pit is going to be opened again, and these guys, these gods, these angels, fallen angels, are going to be released onto the earth again. And also in Revelation chapter 12, around the same time, we're told that there's war in heaven. And it says Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. And it says they prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And it says they're kicked down to the earth. And it says, woe unto the people of the earth, because the devil is wroth, because he knows that his time is short. And in Revelation 6, it says that the stars of heaven fall to earth like figs falling from a fig tree, shaken by a mighty wind. And that stars of heaven is talking about the host of heaven, which is a metaphor for the angels. And contrary to popular belief, I don't believe that the devil and his angels were kicked out of heaven thousands of years ago. Because according to Revelation chapter 12, they still occupy heaven. And we're told that day and night, the devil appears before the throne of God accusing the brethren. But in this future time, there's going to be a war in heaven. Not a battle, but a war between Michael and his angels on one hand, and the devil and his angels on the other. And they're cast out of heaven. They fall to earth. So when these guys all come on the earth again, this is what's going to be the steel, the iron, rather, of the toes, the ten toes made up of miry clay, which are human beings, and these Nephilim. And when they come to earth, I believe the people of the earth are going to believe that these are gods, that these are maybe aliens, they'll call them, or extraterrestrials, but gods, just as they came to earth in Genesis chapter 6. And they will be full of power, full of wisdom, full of supernatural magic, able to do signs, lying signs, miracles, and wonders, so that they almost deceive the whole world. And that's what the Antichrist does, and his sidekick, the false prophet, are able to do all sorts of lying signs and wonders, so that they deceive almost the whole world, except for the elect.
In fact, there are a lot of people today who believe that there really are aliens that are visiting us from other planets, and that they are carrying out certain supernatural or unusual phenomena, and they have these spacecraft, and I believe this is part of a massive deception that is being perpetrated by people in very powerful places. Because the last thing they want the American people to understand is there is a spiritual dimension, and there really are these spiritual beings, some from the side of light and some from the side of darkness. Do you think that they, maybe some of them, here at the present time on Earth?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised, Dr. Stan. As you know, we're told in Ephesians chapter 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritualities, against principalities, against spiritual powers from on high, or from the heavenly places. So, you know, the devil is the one who's the god of this world. He's the one who's pulling the strings down here. You know, people might look at the physical manifestations of what's going on, but they fail to see the supernatural, invisible realities behind these things. So So the devil is the god of this world, and that's why the place is so screwed up. I'm sure they are operating down here, and they're manipulating all sorts of things. And I think perhaps all this UFO activity that's going on around the world, and a few months ago we had a UFO over O'Hare Airport in Chicago, and even pilots saw it and reported it. It was on the national news. This is all happening with UFOs and alien abductions and with crop circles and things like that. These guys are sort of softening the ground for what's coming down in the future. Because they can't just appear here and frighten the life out of everybody. So they're sending down all these little feelers and getting people ready. Not just with all these abductions and UFO sightings and crop circles and things, but also with all the TV programs and movies that are coming out at the moment. You know, Encounters of a Third Kind, E.T., Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And we had a new one out in ABC recently called Fallen, which is all about fallen angels coming down. So they're preparing the people. And we have to understand that as Christians, you and I, we can see these things. We understand these spiritual matters because we are body, soul, spirit. And when you've got the Spirit of God in you, one of the manifestations of that is discerning of spirits. We can understand these things. But people who don't have the Spirit of God cannot. All they can do is see with their five senses. So if these guys appear to them as gods and as extraterrestrials or aliens with higher powers, which I believe they're beautiful looking men. I believe it. You know, angels were originally sons of God. So I'm sure they're beautiful looking men, just as Jesus Christ is, I'm sure, is a beautiful looking man. And that they're going to appear as beautiful looking men as they did in Genesis 6, when they were irresistible to the women of that time. They were powerful, full of wisdom, full of knowledge, supernatural abilities, magical abilities, able to deceive the people with their lying signs and wonders. And they will come to Earth, and I think they're going to tell the people of the Earth that, you know, they're there to help them, that we're going to take the Earth to the next step of evolution, that they're going to get rid of wars, get rid of famines, get rid of all the ills of this world, and that we've got rid of all those nutty Bible thumpers, so now we're going to make things all right. And most of the people in the world are going to swallow this, hook, line, and sinker. So all this stuff that we're seeing with the UFO stuff is preparing the ground for these guys coming back. And that's why I named that DVD The Return of the Nephilim. So, as you said a little while ago, we live in very, very exciting times. We're on the cusp of seeing the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that man that got up from the dead I was speaking to you about in Africa was dead for 3 days and three nights. When he said he went to heaven, these angels showed him the mansions, and he said, the mansions are finished. He said, Jesus Christ has finished the work on the mansions, and which I thought was interesting because you remember Jesus said in John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Well, according to this black man who was raised from the dead, when this angel brought him to see this heaven, he said, the mansions are finished. So we are very, very, very close to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We live with real exciting times, so it's time for us to get a bit of work done, you know, and all we have to do is what we can do, our little bit, and it doesn't matter how well educated you are, whether you've been to a Bible college or you haven't been to a Bible college, whether you're a real good person and you go to church every Sunday or not, it's down to your individual faith, and you can do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, he died for us so that we could have eternal life, you know. One of my favorite verses, John 8:32, and they shall know the truth, and the truth shall make them free. And it's up to each of us individually to reach out to our neighbor, to our friend, to our family, to people that we work with the word of truth. And, you know, people are going to hear it. I mean, that's how we got saved, is because somebody took the time and had the love to reach out to us.
Well, I really believe, of course, that the Christian will understand what's going on. I believe that the non-Christian will not, but there's always the opportunity for people to cross in their belief from non-belief into simple belief. And, you know, we can't tell you what you can do other than to simply ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. And if you ask in all sincerity for his guidance, he will come into your life. He will change your life forever. It's just that simple. But it's a matter of your surrendering your will to him, and none of us likes to give up directing our lives. But of course, this is what's really so important. especially now as I believe with all my heart that we're entering a period of increasing crisis and chaos. And, well, the only thing that's going to see end of it through is our Lord Jesus Christ. Patrick, you've got 3 minutes to finish up the program.
Well, thank you very much for having me on again, Dr. Stan. It's always great to talk to you, and it's always a great miracle of science to me that I'm sitting here over here in the Emerald Isle, about 10 miles from Dublin City. It's pitch dark outside. It's almost 1 o'clock in the morning here, and you're over there in sunny California, and we can talk live on air, and there's people out there listening to us. It's a total miracle. But again, harping back to the prophecies of the end time, that is another fulfillment of the end times prophecies, which is recorded in the book of Daniel, which was written about 800 BC, where Daniel was told by a man, and this man called Gabriel, told him to write down certain things, and he dictated the book of Daniel to him. And many of the prophecies in the book of Daniel parallel the prophecies of the apocalypse and the signs of the end times. And at the end of the book of Daniel, Daniel turned to Gabriel and he said to him, "What do all these prophecies mean? And when shall all these things come to pass?" And Daniel more or less told him to mind his own business. And he said, "It's not for you to know, you know." He said, "You will get your reward in due course." He said, "The prophecies are sealed up until the time of the end." And he says, "In the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." And when he says knowledge shall be increased, I think he was talking about two times of knowledge being increased in the last days. First of all, technological and scientific knowledge. And we've got really that in this last 100 years, 150 years. Insofar as I can talk to you now live, and you're in California, I'm in Ireland. People landing on the moon, space shuttles up in the air, mobile phones that you can read your emails on. I can fly from here to Los Angeles in 10 and a half hours. It's just amazing. But also knowledge of the book of Revelation, which is also called the Apocalypse. The Apocalypse in Greek is apokalypsis, which means unveiling, as in the taking away of the veil to reveal the face. Or it's like pulling back the curtains, the veils of curtains on a stage to reveal what's behind the curtain. And that's what's happening in these last times. And that's what I'm endeavoring to do with my book, Apocalypse Soon, to show you so that the veil is taken away and it can be revealed to you what's coming down the track. And you can use this information and knowledge to reach out and win a soul for the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what I mean when I say in these last days knowledge is being increased. And it's an incredible sign of the end times that I'm able to talk to you live all the way from Ireland. And thanks once again for having me on, Dr. Mandeep. Again, if anybody wants to get my book, it's called Apocalypse Soon. You can order it in your Christian bookshop or at www.survivalmall.com. Or if you want my website, it's www.neph.ie. NEPH.ie.
All right, well, our guest has been Patrick Herron. Bye-bye. God bless.
God bless.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and Patrick was just saying how amazing it is that I'm sitting here on a beautiful afternoon here on the West Coast, and he's over in just outside of Dublin, Ireland, in the middle of the darkness there, and we're talking back and forth. But even more amazing is the fact that this program is going out over the Internet all over the world. It's going out on shortwave all over the world, and that we have the ability to reach people in certainly every nation today, and increasingly electronically, where we're going to be able to reach more and more. And if you can point them to our programs, hopefully we're going to be able to reach people and help them to understand what's going on and hopefully transform their lives. Well, if you'd like to, of course, partner with Radio Liberty, why, of course, all you have to do is give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and you can do that simply with a gift of $20 a month or more, and in return you'll get our monthly newsletter, our four best tapes or CDs of the month. But what you're really doing is helping us maintain and hopefully one day expand our outreach. And then, of course, we hope that you'll tell other people about our programs. We hope that you'll want to get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, which begins to introduce people to the other dimension, because there is a spiritual dimension. My talk, entitled Forbidden Secret, Forbidden Secret, Ridley Christ deals a great deal with that other spiritual dimension. It's not imaginary. It is real. It is the dimension that the witches contact, that the mediums, the sorcerers, the diviners, the water witches, the clairvoyants, and they are able, at least the ones who are legitimate, to contact the other dimension. Certainly we hope that you'll want to get our material on the supernatural, our 4 tapes out on that subject, the book The Beautiful Side of Evil by Johanna Michelson. You'll want to get the DVD, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, because you cannot understand anything going on today unless you understand the occult forces that were working in America 400 years ago. And the same would be true for the award-winning DVD, Riddles in Stone, The Secret Architecture of America's Capital, because in the 1790s, when Washington, D.C. was laid out, there were already then plans that America would become the new Atlantis and would lead the world into a new world order and a new world religion. Certainly you'll want to get our interview with Chris Pitto, who actually produced those 2 previously mentioned DVDs, and of course the talk he gave for us here, The Atlantis Connection. The Atlantis Connection. And then, of course, Constance Cumby's excellent DVD, The Emergence. We're talking about the coming world leader, because there is a world leader coming. And, of course, we believe he's already here, just waiting to be publicly declared as the world moves into chaos and crisis. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. If you have not yet read my pamphlets on the occult hierarchy, you really need to get it. They're inexpensive. They're 3 pamphlets, and it simply is a compilation of my writings and Dr. Dennis Cuddy's writings on the spiritual hierarchy or occult hierarchy that rules the world today and works through secret societies and men. But, of course, they communicate them by spiritual means, and some of them actually are, of course, able to bridge that barrier between the darkness and the light, between the dimension in which we live and the spiritual dimension, where the real battle for the survival of Christian civilization is taking place. So please pray for America, pray for revival, pray for Radio Liberty. Remember our number again, 1-800-544-8927, because we are at war today.